is Todd Hockenberry with
Dan Tyer.
Welcome to Inbound to Grow, a podcast for leaders who want to grow better and to see their company become an inbound organization. Our goal for this podcast is to share the latest ideas, strategies, and real-life stories that will help your business grow. We want to help you create an amazing company culture, develop effective business strategies, and deliver outstanding customer experiences. In other words, to be more inbound. Check out Inbound to Grow for the show notes and other helpful information, including all of our social media and contact information. And please keep the comments coming, folks. We love them. We're getting great feedback. Keep it up. We also want to let you know that we will be relaunching Inbound to Grow as part of a new podcast called The Industrial Executive. And our goal for this podcast is to really focus in on the primary persona, which is B2B executives and their issues. They certainly include inbound and inbound organization concepts, but not exclusively. Our format will change. We will interview B2B executives as well as have some shows with a similar format to this one, including my favorite co-author of all time, Dan Tyer.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah. So we hope you choose to follow the new combined show at theindustrialexecutive.com. And in the show notes, there's going to be links to this on iTunes and everywhere else. If you go to theindustrialexecutive.com, no spaces, you'll be able to sign up and follow it there as well for your favorite podcast app. So before we get started today, Dan, we have gotten a little bit of pushback, right? We said at the beginning, one of our principles was we were going to stay quick and short and tight and keep it around 20 minutes. And I don't think we've ever been under 20 minutes. So I'm just going to throw that out there as we start.
It's a couple of times when you chatted me. Okay. It's like 14 minutes, 15 minutes, 16 minutes, but it is a stretch, right? Because you get me all pumped up. You get me all excited. I'm super excited for the industrial executive because no one knows industrial manufacturing companies like my buddy Todd, right? And there's so much information. I was just in Charlotte, North Carolina. I did a workshop and was working with a new marketer from a valve company, an industrial valve company. And I don't know, that always gets me excited when there's an industrial valve company that's moving towards inbound. Doesn't that get you all pumped up, Todd?
That's my wheelhouse. I love it.
I know. And this lady is saying, no, we've been around for 75 years. We've got 23 vice presidents and we have this initiative where we've got to practice inbound. And I'm like, ooh, that sounds fun. She goes, it doesn't sound fun to me, right? I got 23 vice presidents that are all sitting there and I got me and they want to be turning into an inbound organization. And I'm like, yep. Okay. 23 copies of the book. Oh, by the way, all the activity on social media. People are giving away the inbound organization for Christmas, for Hanukkah. This is awesome, right? It does make a good holiday gift, I have to admit. But she's like, all right, Tyer, what do we need to do? And one of the things that we brought up and the purpose for this podcast is the inbound operating system. So go ahead, Todd, ask me the question.
I want to make another comment before I do that. The industrial executive, it is going to focus on some industrial executives, people that are in that space, but it's really meant for anybody in the B2B space. We wanted to kind of narrow down the focus a little bit and really focus in on those types of issues because they are fundamentally different than a lot of the B2C issues. So we're kind of sticking with our persona and going after that market in a little different way, as opposed to just talking about the concepts of inbound. We want to talk to the specific person. So that gives you a sense of kind of where our head is in terms of what we want to talk about.
Exactly. How many podcasts do we have on the inbound organization? There's dozens of them, right?
Yeah, this one is episode 30.
All right. So we have 30 inbound organization podcasts. That's enough of the info, plus the audiobook, right?
Right.
If you want to hear Todd be like super smart and me be like all excited, right? Buy the audiobook, right? Get it on Amazon and you can hear the entire thing. Got lots of good feedback on the audiobook and one of the thrills for me in 2018, of course. And the industrial executive is all designed to do exactly what we say, like we're going to do here, right? We have to define our niche. And if you're an industrial company, a manufacturing company, distribution company that's trying to make this change, right? You talk to my buddy, Todd Hockenberry, you go to the inbound organization website, you listen to the inbound executive podcast, and you'll pick up some pearls of wisdom is what I call it. And what are the pearls of wisdom? It's an inbound operating system. So, Todd, ask me the question.
All right. So we've talked about inbound operating system before, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into this today. So, Dan, not only what is an inbound operating system, but let's get into why it's so important and maybe even why some people don't have what we would consider a formalized operating system.
That's right. So we co-opted this from my good friend and colleague, Allison Ellsworthy. And Allison, her nickname is Lightning, by the way. I gave her nickname, right? It was a vice president at HubSpot, one of the most critical junctures of the growth of the company. And as we were making this like transition, she's like looking at us going, no. What we need is we need an operating system. And I'm like, no, an operating system is like on your PC. It's like Windows or Mac iOS or something like that. She goes, no, it's systems, programs, and tools to keep everybody on the same page. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. And an inbound operating system provides the framework allowing everyone to work together and to function as one unit in the pursuit of the organization's mission. And when Todd and I do our consulting workshops, when we're working with companies, right? The first kind of step is to understand your M spot, your mission, your strategies, your plays, your omissions, your targets, right? The second thing is the continuity is the key. One of the things that we learned from our buddy, Jack Derby. Jack Derby is a brilliant marketing professor at Tufts University in Boston. And he says the key in any of these kind of organizational trying to transitions is you have to have continuity, which we like. Right. And so the ability to create this inbound operating system is super important. Right. So amongst some of the components of your inbound operating system is going to be, first of all, your culture code. Right. And a culture code is a written description. Right. We just ran a workshop last week in Utah for a scaling professional services company. Right. And talked about their particular culture code. Right. And why they should have one. And what it is it's a set of values. Right. That are super important that everybody understands and internalizes so that people understand how to behave in a professional context. One of the culture code components was talk it out. Right. And I'm like, ooh, tell me about talk it out. They're like, we don't want to like hide secrets. Right. We want to make sure if there's something going on, there's no political implications that we just like figure out what's going on. What do you think of that as a culture code attribute, Todd?
Well, I think that really certainly hits transparency and just trust, right, where you can just bring issues to the table and know that you're not going to get attacked for bringing up an issue. I want to go back to your definition of inbound operating system. You talk about it as the framework to bring everybody together so they can function as a unit in pursuit of the mission. This is why the mission is so critical, right? And you can have an operating system that you have in place, but if you don't have a mission that guides it, right, you don't know where you're going to go. So mission is kind of the why. The how is really the strategy piece. And then kind of the what you're going to do is enabled by your operating system. You know, all the things you want to bring to your customers, your environment, which includes your culture and then all the different kind of processes and procedures and really even kind of we always did it that way before kind of things. This is like the classic TPS meeting from Office Space, right? Or the TPS report or from Office Space or the standing meeting that nobody knows why anybody has it anymore. Right? These are things that you kind of inherit and you not question. And an operating system is something that, again, you're going to document and you're going to codify into a specific thing so that everybody knows what it is. But it's really about how you enable your team to get that mission and what environment you put them in. So culture is a huge piece of that. And as you said, right, the just get it to the surface is a really big part of that. So I always like to go back to mission. It's funny, before we did the book, I didn't spend a whole lot of time talking to clients about mission. We would just jump right in and go, hey, we're talking sales and marketing. How do we grow? And I found that, one of the things I learned from doing the book with you, Dan, was that understanding the mission and really getting that right is really the first step to thinking about growing.
Critical, and then right? It's critical because you ask people, what's your mission? And they're like, I don't know, stay in business, make $10 million next year. And you're like, no. That doesn't work in 2019. The whole idea of the inbound organization is the transition. Right. And it's not just the transition of sales and marketing. Todd and I have been talking about this for 10 years. Right. Because the sales and marketing people, they get it. They're like, OK, we need to have alignment. We're working through the process. And then Todd and I get to the senior management team and we go, well, what do you know about inbound? And they're like, it's something in marketing or it's something in sales. And we're like, no, it's something for the entire company. If you're not customer focused, they're like, no, we're customer focused. We're like, how do you know? They go, we got good customers. I'm like, prove it. So part of the inbound operating system is a behavior for measuring NPS, net promoter score, for your customers. Right? If you don't, if you tell me you have happy customers, I want a number. I don't want just your personal bias, because as the CEO or a senior executive, you probably only talk to the good customer. Right? I want you to talk to everybody. Not only do I want to know the number of your NPS, I want to know the number of your eNPS. And Todd, what's an eNPS?
Well, that's an employee net promoter score.
And why is that important?
Well, I think because, it's going to foster transparency. It's going to give people a stake in what's going on. It's going to give them a constructive outlet to give honest feedback about their manager or their team or the strategy or the goals they're being given. It's going to give them it's going to give the team a very automated and quick way to get measurable feedback that you can measure kind of now and then later and compare over time as well if you're doing better. eNPS is important because compared to the traditional kind of suggestion box or employee surveys, you're going to get a much higher response rate. You're going to get immediate feedback, and it's going to be a lot more accurate. And eNPS is great because it helps give not only employees a way to express their opinions, which who doesn't want to be heard? It's a big part of our culture. Certainly new businesses that are out there today, I mean, no employee wants to sit there thinking they're not going to get heard or their opinions aren't going to be evaluated or valued. So that's a big, big important piece. But it also, it gives senior leaders the opportunity to evaluate managers, not just employees, so they can see if there's people that are struggling or that are having some issues, and they have the opportunity then to get those managers back on track. Because once they kind of get off track, it's hard to kind of build their credibility back up with their team. And I could keep going on and on. There's lots of benefits to an eNPS, but again, it gives leaders the opportunity to understand what's going on within the organization without having to guess or without having to fall victim to recency bias, which is the last thing I heard is what I think we're doing, right?
Okay, so a couple of things I just want to highlight, because of course you're right. Number one, it's analytics and data rather than gut feel. That's right. Part of running a company in the 21st century. Number two, your employees are super important. If you don't have happy employees, you're not going to have happy customers. We write about that in multiple chapters in inbound organizations. So you got to understand, number one, do your employees get it? Number two, do they understand the mission? Number three, are they buying into your leadership? And if they don't, right, it's not going to be a good thing, right? You're catching it early. And then all of the feedback, management, accountability, and stuff that you talked about. Same thing with your customers, right? In the old days, you could say, I could have happy customers. Today in 2019, if you don't tell me, boom, my NPS is a 51 or a 61, or if it's a 24, the reality is I don't really care where it is. I care that, number one, you're measuring it. Number two, that you have a specific plan for developing better eNPS and NPS. So two of those components are part of your inbound operating system. Then there's a wiki, right? And I'm like, all right, Todd and I, when we were first starting these workshops, we go like, we'll just have them post the M spot on the wiki. And Todd chuckles. Chuckle for the audience, Todd. No, that's a laugh. I want the low chuckle where you're not like outlying, like laughing out loud at me, but just chuckle. That's it. That's a little bit better. But he's like, man.
I wasn't practicing my laugh for this.
I know. Todd's so nice. He doesn't like outright laugh at me, but he like chuckles. Like it's like he's talking to his 9-year-old son. And I'm like, what? They don't have a wiki. I'm like, what do you mean they don't have a wiki? Right? Where do they post all the information? Where do they like discuss things? Where do people put the strategic initiatives of the company so everybody can read it? And Todd's like, exactly. And I'm like, oh my goodness, don't they have like a bulletin board? And Todd's like, they got email, right? And I'm like, oh man, how do they discuss over email? And he's like, exactly. So a wiki is a place where you post all this information. And there's some guidelines for the wiki that we make very, very clear in the book. Number one, the wiki is open to everybody. right? It's internal to the company, but anyone, anywhere can post anything, right? Many times, right, there's tons of examples in HubSpot where people will post strategic initiatives and then people will like or unlike it, and they'll post their observations and impact. And the qualities of posting and commenting on the wiki is that anything goes other than attacking somebody or being rude, right? Or something like that. But most people are like, I don't understand this, or help me understand, or this is not my experience. And it is an amazing way of organizations to really tap in to understand what their employees are concerned about, understand, and what they don't understand, so that you can kind of course correct. And
I want to give a JD Sherman quote here. JD's the CEO of HubSpot, and talking about communications, he says, "We need great communication systems. Transparency is great, but it is wasted if communication isn't great. So we use a wiki, we have quarterly company meetings, and we have spotlight meetings where one or several senior level executives are on stage answering questions. It's also a two-way street. It's everyone's responsibility to participate, and other teams need to hear from you. You need to listen to other teams to make sure goals are aligned and objectives are clear." That's a great example of using a tool like a wiki as part of your operating system. And then, like JD says, you know, it those are the outcomes, right? You get this two-way street. You make sure everybody's aligned, and there's just open communication. I would tell you that the kind of meetings that JD's quote just describes there, I've seen very few companies that do that.
That's what you call the HubSpot bubble. And so JD is like the smartest guy I've ever met. Totally cool, totally understands the culture. He was just posted a Medium article on our diversity and inclusion efforts and why it's personal to him. That wiki, and then the structured and scheduled interactions, right? So the meetings with a posted agenda, right? The minimum number of attendees. We want all of our meetings are live streamed, right? So everybody can see it. They're recorded, right? The wiki is a support of that. They're scheduled, their time. I don't think they're ever more than 90 minutes. They're super effective. And that's how we get all 2,500 employees at HubSpot all on the same page, right? And then you asked to talk a little bit about some of the soft skills as well. How are we doing on time, Todd?
We have 3 minutes, so we're going to have to get cranking here.
All right, 30 seconds. Can I do 30 seconds on the soft skills that the inbound operators
should do?
Transparency forces transparency, requires thought and insight, not emotion and opinion, thought and insight, holds leadership and the organization accountable. It guides the team daily. It sends a signal that culture is important, because in 2019, culture is important. And then you have this common vocabulary in language that helps you solve for enterprise value. EV, we call it. Enterprise value is when everybody understands what they're trying to do, right, for the greater good of the customer and the greater good for the company.
Got it. Okay. I would say the quote from the book today is, "Transparency without context is chaos." Another J.D. Sherman gem there. So the mission with your culture aligned with an operating system is how you'd give people context. People need to understand where you're going, how you're going to do it in terms of your culture and what your beliefs and values are, and then your practical application. What's our environment day in, day out? What are the tools I have to be successful? That gives people context to then take the transparency, the information, the strategy, the insights, the benefits you're going to give your customers, and gives them the opportunity to be successful. I want to tell a really quick story of a customer I had recently worked with. We were getting ready to do kind of a workshop with them, and it was interesting because talking to the executives, they felt that they had a very aligned operating system and culture with the inbound philosophy. But when we talked to the people on the basically on the customer facing departments, service and sales and marketing, we found that they didn't feel that way at all. So I would say that's one of my takeaways for our audience is that just because you may be a leader, a senior leader, you think you've got an aligned culture, you think you have a positive work environment and culture. The only way to prove that is to hear it from everybody else, right? It's not something you can impose top down. It's something you can guide top down, but you have to build it as a team. So that's our first takeaway. Second thing I would say is you want to document your culture, right? We've talked about that before. And then you want to evaluate all the things you're doing, including that we've talked about with your operating system. And I suggest, just like we've been talking about, where you would shop yourself to see what the experience is from the outside, I would turn a critical eye towards your internal tools, whether it's things like a wiki or whether it's how you communicate, the types of meetings you have, how you evaluate options and how you make decisions. Turn a critical eye to those and look at them from a different perspective and see if maybe they're not just being done by habit or they're being done for a specific reason, and then they are actually really positive. Anyway, our call to action today is check out theindustrialexecutive.com. Please, please, please sign up for the new podcast. We will not be publishing podcasts at Inbound to Grow after the end of the year. So new episodes of Dan and I, plus all the other things we're going to do, are going to be there. So please go there. And if you like this podcast and you like the new one, we always like iTunes reviews. Please feel free to do that. InboundToGrow.com is not going to go anywhere. It's still going to remain. It's going to be part of the resource page of the Inbound organization. So these podcasts are going to be really tied around the book. They're not going anywhere. They'll exist as resources for people if they'd like them. So our next episode is titled Inbound Back Office, one of my favorites.
Woo-hoo! Did we make it across 17 minutes?
We're close. Oh. So we got to wrap up here. So I'm Todd Hockenberry of Top Line Results.
And Top HubSpot.
We want to thank you for listening. And remember, to do inbound, you must be inbound.